This is Jan Fisher. I'm interviewing Zita Rimley on July 16th, 1976 at 2:30 p.m. in her home. And this is part of a third interview. We had a tape break on us last time. So I guess what I begin again with talking a little bit more about Ethel, your oldest sister, mm-hmm. and her work. She had worked first as a teacher.
Yes.
And then had tuberculosis.
Yes. Right?
And we talked about her sleeping outdoors and everything. And then, did she, okay, after she had been pretty much over the tuberculosis, she started in work as a bookkeeper?
Yes. She worked at Pfizer Mercantile Company, was a big store in North Platte. And then I remember she worked for the ice company, too. Mm-hmm. And then she also worked for the electric company. She could always get a job, but it seems as though whenever Mama had any thing at home, that Ethel would, she'd insist Ethel quit and come home and work. And, you know, I've sort of seen that in other Irish women that were quite domineering, that they expected. I know Mama used to say with four daughters, she certainly ought to have one that would help her. And we were just talking today about Miss Fagan in Omaha, that she was so beautiful and such a lovely, accomplished woman, but she was under the finger of her mother, and she never married, and now she's working in San Jose and just ready to retire. Mother died about 10 years ago, but she just spent her life waiting on her mother. Mm-hmm. And a lot of women do that. It did that. I don't think they do it nowadays.
It is in the Irish families, the oldest.
I think so.
So did
then
Ethel
later on married?
Mm-hmm.
And
about what year did she marry?
She married Ross. Her name was Ethel Ross, but he was a railroad man. But honestly, nobody ever liked him very well.
Mm-hmm.
But he died too, and then she. After Mama died, she stayed on at our home in North Platte for quite a while. But then when she sold it and came out here and stayed with me for a while and stayed with my sister Mabel in Manhattan Beach, and she finally, I don't know, she was in her 80s when she died, though. She died, she was in Long Beach. She had a, her husband was her Spanish War veteran, and she got a Spanish War pension, and she had some little money, and she had an apartment here in Long Beach. She spent her last about 8 years of her life here.
Mm-hmm. So she only married once?
Yes.
And he had been a Spanish War veteran?
Yes.
And worked on the railroad.
Yeah.
Do you remember about how old she was when she married? Or?
Well, she was pretty old. She was over 40.
Mm-hmm. Did she keep working when she married?
No.
She stopped working?
No. In fact, she... The girls that, when I was selling desks, they had a room at her home,
mm-hmm.
and that's how I met them.
So you met them when she was, after she was married?
Yes,
and she had
North
her
Platte.
Home
uh-huh.
in North Platte.
Yes.
And were these friends of hers?
No,
they
just came and knocked on her door and asked if she had a room to rent. And she did. She thought it would be, she liked to cook. She was a good cook.
Mm-hmm.
And she thought they were so nice, and she told me to come up and meet them because she thought I'd like to, that they were so nice, and they seemed to be making so much money. And so I got to know them, and it had been just 1 year in the University of Nebraska, and I got to know them that summer, so I just took off with them from North Platte.
Did you, when you... met them, you were home for
yes,
the summer
yes.
from the university.
Yes.
And were they from the area? Or
no, they were from Omaha. She was really from Sauk Center, Minnesota. That's because she always said that's where Sinclair Lewis was born.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote it, one of his books, I think, is founded in Sauk Center, Main Street. And I went back to her home in Omaha about 3 years ago at her 50th wedding anniversary. I was her bridesmaid. She married a North Platte boy.
Mm-hmm.
But I went back, and she had her same, she had a 50th anniversary, and I was her bridesmaid, and she had her best man there, and her relatives came from all over the country to Omaha.
What was her name?
Well, her name was Marie Rosenberger, but She's Chamberlain now.
Mm-hmm. So George, this is one of the first women you met. Was she with someone?
Yes, they had another girl that the girl's sister was one of a nationally known political correspondent in Washington. Let me see, what is her name? But we went out in western Nebraska, and we got two other girls, but she didn't stay with us too long. She was an awfully nice girl, but she didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
But then Marie's sister, younger sister, came out, and we were in Cheyenne. I think I told you all that once.
Well, we could, get some more details on it. I was wondering, were most of the women who worked on that were single young women?
Yes. And most of them were teachers.
How did they kind of get in contact with it the same way you did? Just,
I don't know.
Did they?
The office was in Omaha,
mm-hmm.
and I think they advertised in the Omaha papers.
So when you decided to join them, did you have to contact the company?
Oh, yes, I had to sign a contract,
anything?
And I had to be bonded and all kinds of stuff. And I had to get Mama sign my bond, and then I got a North Platte merchant to sign it, and I don't know why. I don't know what I could run away with. Of course, I collected money,
mm-hmm.
but... and I had to sign a contract. And
you're about 18 at this
yeah.
time. So when you made the decision to go out selling the desk, and you had to go did you have to travel to Omaha to?
Yes, I think my contract was arranged, though, before I went, but I went to Omaha for instructions.
Oh, they had a regular training program? About how long did that last?
About 3 weeks.
About 3 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
And was that taught by men?
No, that was, because the Omaha office was, the Kansas City office was men, the Omaha office was a woman, Mrs. Gulbranson.
Mm-hmm.
And so she had it. And we go to conventions in Kansas City, and the factory was in the Valparaiso, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Lucy and I went back there several times.
So they had big sales, yeah. conventions and
uh-huh.
things? Once a year or something?
Uh-huh.
They give you pep talks? I was wondering what kind of things they would
oh
teach
my,
you.
Oh, my, they had it coming all over. Then I remember years later, Mr. Ruiz was retired. He was one of the big managers of the company, and I saw in the L.A. Times where he was in Eagle Rock, and I had him come out here and be as a speaker for our Democratic Club. But, I got pictures. I'll have to go find all those old pictures of me at these conventions. I was real fat then, I think. I looked so awful when I was so young.
Do you remember making it for sale?
Let me think. It was, would have been in Kimball, Nebraska. No, we stopped at Kimball and then Ogallala and Julesburg, and I don't believe I do. But I had to go out with others first,
mm-hmm. yeah.
to be trained. Then.
So just the initial training was at the company, but
yes.
they
yes.
talked to you about the product
yes.
itself.
Uh-huh.
And
then we had to learn a regular spiel.
Oh yeah.
No, just regular demonstration.
Do you
we weren't allowed. Oh, I could give you the Census
sure.
Bureau one. Yeah, to learn that
the
too.
Census Bureau.
they make you just stay exactly on the words in the census. So if they say hello, you're not even supposed to say good morning. It's just ridiculous.
This is this one you've just been.
Yeah. You're supposed to. Say the questions exactly as worded. I think it sounds so stupid. But they do have the Census Bureau, they're the best in the world as far as getting data and the data correct.
Mm-hmm.
But then the census was many years later.
Did they, in this company that you're working for, the Lewis E. Meyerson Company,
yeah.
they gave you a whole spiel to sell the desk?
Yes, to memorize.
Do you remember at all what that one went like? Or just basically, I mean, it doesn't have to be very familiar.
Well, I know that we had little introduction cards
mm-hmm.
that we'd ask anyone if they had any friends with children that age, if they would sign a card and introduce us to them. And surprisingly enough, they did.
People would
Do that. They'd mm-hmm. fill out the card and sign in and go introduce Miss Zita Donegan, who has a product I'm sure you'd be interested in, or something of that kind, was printed on the card, and she just signed my name and her name.
Mm-hmm.
And that helped an awful lot to get in.
So that was what sort of put your foot in the door.
Yeah, put your foot in the door. I never minded it at all. I remembered I just loved the mining camps out in Wyoming and Rock Springs and the coal mining camps where all the people would, they just lived in rows, you know, and most of their money was at the company store. I often thought of that song after, you remember that song about the company store?
Oh, my soul's a company store.
And that was absolutely true. They had to buy all their food there and get their things there, and they hardly had any cash left when their paycheck came. It was all went to the company store. And I know one of them come out and brought me the most beautiful piece of embroidery. Wonder if I could take that as first payment I felt so sorry for them because they were, their kids were, you know, you just meet the brightest kids in the most saddest conditions sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that's
Would the group of girls stay in those camps?
We stayed in Rock Springs.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd go out to the mining camp, to the edges of town. Remember Hannah Coal? You're not a Midwesterner, are you? But Hannah, Wyoming was another big coal mining town.
Mm-hmm.
But they were always on the edge of town, the mining camps.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it was nearly all just a mining camp, Hannah. But Rock Springs was quite a railroad center. It was quite a nice little town.
Mm-hmm. So you would stay in the town, and then did you spend the whole day
Going
out? Mm-hmm. Or were there many women who were at home that you would sell to, the mothers of the children?
That's who we sold to, because women were home in those days.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't so many working, you know, so
uh-huh.
They were home. But oftentimes we had to go back at night to see the husband.
They wouldn't
close the deal. They'd be sure they wanted it, but we'd have to go back and close the deal.
So when you went back, would you go in groups of two when you sold, or did you go out individually?
I never had any fear, never had any circumstances much where we,
mm-hmm.
where I should have had it, I don't think. Just never bothered me. And, we'd work people like the dickens. We'd meet people and meet salesmen and ask them to take us to the next town, and they all would. And
is that how you got around from place to place?
Well, we were on the railroad track. We mm-hmm. Union Pacific there, mostly. We mm-hmm. went by train. Mm-hmm. But
did the company pay for your travel, or you had to pay?
No, not until I was a director.
So you worked your way up?
Yeah. Then.
What were the different levels? I mean, did you
It was you were paid more people that you train and were under you. You paid a commission.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get a salary ever.
It was all on commission?
All on commission.
And yet you managed to make about $100 a week?
Yeah, it's real good.
So,
if I'd work, but lots of times I'd just go back home and stay for a while. Mama wanted me to come home.
So it was the kind of thing that you could take off.
Oh,
when
I wasn't supposed to, but they couldn't do anything about it. So I just did. But then I went all over Iowa. I just loved Iowa. And then I loved Missouri too, and Kansas, and Texas, and Oklahoma. I just go all down the railroad track.
You were mentioning that you had some interesting experiences, and we talked about the one in Davenport. Were there?
You know, I had another one I was thinking of. It was so funny. I met the dance hall in Rock Springs was called the Bucket of Blood. It was a great big dance hall, and we'd go to dances every Saturday night.
The city was called the Bucket of Blood.
No, the dance hall.
The dance hall was called the Bucket.
And it was some mining engineer out there that we would dance. His last name was Kelly, and he was such a good dancer, and we had more fun. And I never saw him only on Saturday night because we worked hard. We really went back and worked every night. But when I made my trip back east with my cousins, and then I landed back in Iowa City. Did I tell you about this?
Yeah, you told that you took off one summer with your cousins and
I tell you about when I got back to Iowa City?
No.
Well, I absolutely was broke. I didn't even have, I got my suitcases off. I had transportation back to North Platte, but I got off at Iowa City. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even have enough money to check my suitcases. And I was sitting, it's a very busy, it's a university town, and it's a very, very busy town. And, you know, I went down, I got in there about 4 o'clock, and I went down to the YWCA and asked if they knew of any, I said I was doing children's work in the town. I didn't know how long I'd be there, and I wondered if they knew of any place I could stay. Well, there was a house that was a sorority overflow, that if the the sorority houses were full, they'd they stayed at this house. This house had quite a few sorority girls. So she called up the lady, and she said, oh, yes, we've got, she said she'll have to room with the girl, but she said we got a nice bed for her, and that'll just be fine, and told me how much it was. And I said, oh, that's fine. And so she said, I'll send, one of the boys is here, I'll send, tell her to stay there, I'll send him down to get her. It was about 8 blocks from where I was, so I said, well, you go and get my suitcases at the depot that I just parked in there. So we went there, and I had a great big meal that night, and oh, and she didn't say a thing about paying her. I don't know what I'd have done if she did. But the next day, I just had to get out and get some money. And so I went into a nice district of, I think it was mostly where they said professors lived. And I looked up, I got in, and I was demonstrating, I looked up on the piano, and it wasn't, the name was, and I said, you know, I know that fellow that on the piano. And he says, oh, he's my brother. And I said, he is. I said, is his name Kelly? And he says, she says, yes, he's in Rock Springs, Wyoming. And he says, you know, oh, he was a big shot in Iowa City. He was, had been a former football star and was coming home for the homecoming. That's why there were so many people in, why it was so, the hotel, oh, it was just
so there was, buzzing. Iowa City was having a homecoming,
yes,
for the university.
For the university. And she said, I said, well, I said, I knew him in Rock Springs. I knew him real well. And she says, oh, he's coming home. He'll be home late this afternoon. And so I left her my name and phone number of this place where I was. And I says, have him call me if he wants to. I said, I'd be glad to see him again. And so do you know that that night he called, and the next night was the big homecoming dance or something, and he asked me if I'd go with him. I guess he called maybe some girls he knew, and they weren't there or something, so he called me. And all these girls couldn't understand. They all got down the steps and peeked because he was so handsome. And
these
so
girls
funny.
In the sorority.
Yeah, the sorority. Says, how on earth can I get to town and get the catch of the whole year? You go to the dance. I says, I don't know. But it was so fun. They just couldn't believe it.
That's a really odd set of circumstances.
Yeah, it was the funniest thing. So I... they were all peeking down the stairs, so I had them all come down and meet them, and they simply couldn't believe it. And I still got the dress I wore that night, all beaded, all yellow, all beaded. Isn't that funny?
That's
it's crazy. But well, I had the best time, and that was sure. Then that night I said, oh, you didn't tell me when I was supposed to pay. I just act like I had more money, and I paid her. She says, oh, you don't have to pay in advance, but okay. So I stayed. I had lots of fun, and I did awfully good in Iowa City.
So
it's a very interesting town.
I was just thinking that when you're doing all the sales work, how did that, you were younger this time, about 18, 19, 20,
I was about
19
then.
How did you manage a social life? I mean, traveling place to place and meeting...
Well, we just didn't have a lot of it, really.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't meet people that you... we met a lot of nice people in Colorado that I know that this Marie Rosenberger said that she couldn't understand that I got more Christmas cards and Christmas gifts from people I met 6 months before. She never did. But we just didn't meet a lot. I met this Tommy, though, in Davenport, Iowa, that...
How did you happen to meet him? Were you just at
selling
the desk?
He was going to the Palmer School of Chiropractic there,
mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure whether they were having a lecture there that we went to and something. I sort of forget how I met him,
mm-hmm.
But I met him, and all the time. Well, I met him before I went to. New York.
Before you took the trip with your cousins?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I met him before. But then I went with him a long time. But I didn't go with him. It was nearly all through correspondence.
So you met him and just started writing?
Yeah, when we left, I just wrote all the time.
Do you remember what year was it you met him?
Probably 23 or...
Mm-hmm. So...
Yeah, about 23.
So when you traveled and corresponded, and mm-hmm. did you come... Where you were doing... How long would you stay in one place? Like, how long
well,
would you stay?
Well, until we... sometimes I only... When they'd send girls out to me, and I know in... different towns in Iowa, I'd take them to that town that was maybe 5,000 or 6,000 and stay there a couple of days, then they would go on their own or meet some other girls and travel with other groups. But I was sort of the floating director.
Oh, so you kind of kept contact with everybody.
Then when I got to Kansas City, I love Kansas City. I just love Kansas City. That's where I met Lou.
Yeah. Okay, but when you came back to Davenport,
yeah.
And how did you, did he just know you were coming back in town, Tommy? I forget his home.
Campbell. How did I know?
I mean, like, he knew you were coming back
in
town, and then did you start seeing each other? Or?
Yeah, I didn't see him too many times. It was just mostly, Marie was in Davenport, Iowa, too, Marie Rosenberger, and we had a whole crew in Davenport.
Mm-hmm.
In Rock Island, we worked all around there. We stayed there quite a while. But after I left Davenport, I didn't see him very much.
Mm-hmm.
It was nearly all correspondence.
So was it through the correspondence that he decided to marry?
Yeah.
So you hadn't gone out that much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, when you met, Mr. Kelly in the mining...
Yeah. I didn't even write to him ever.
So did you? Well, did you just decide to go dancing together? The girls who were out on the
we went together. The girls went together to the dances most of the time.
Mm-hmm. And that's
the fellas there.
Then you'd meet men at these dances.
Mm-hmm. And we always went home alone.
Mm-hmm. Was that? Did you ever feel that when you're out on the road like that? I know before you mentioned that you made a lot of friends, but you must have. Been in a lot of different kinds of conditions.
Well, small towns didn't have dances. We didn't meet many there. We'd meet them in restaurants. I always used to say I'd meet the fellas in the post office going after my mail and in the banks cashing checks. Because you didn't meet them any other place, only maybe in the restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
When you'd eat every day in a certain place for a couple of weeks. But in a small town, it doesn't take long for them to know there's some strange girls in town. I can remember when I was in Herndon, Kansas. I had a friend's car from North Platte then, though. I was driving, and this one, it's in western Kansas, and one home I was in says, unless you intend to stay here in Herndon, you better get out of here. Says no young fella can ever find a girl here that he isn't related to. There's certain few families came there in the early days, and they all married each other and said they're so inbred that if a strange girl comes to town, she never gets out. So I got out. But it was a nice little town, western Kansas.
That's too much. So, with all this, did you sleep in I know you must have stayed in a wide variety of
homes
mainly
yes.
homes.
Yes.
Did you end up...
We found our places usually by going into the drugstore. It seemed like the druggist knew the town better than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And we always asked them if he knew of a nice place to stay. And we always got nice places. And they'd be very accommodating. They'd call up and ask, and sometimes they'd never even rented a room before. And other times they had, but because he sent us out we found out that was supposed to be a good recommendation. But he never knew us from Adam.
Did you, were the desks that you were selling pretty popular? I mean, did people know about them?
Well, I think so.
Were they, a novelty kind of item?
They've been on the market since 1880,
mm-hmm.
and I think they'd had crews going through before. A lot of people had them when they were growing up.
Well, awesome. So the parents and the children had these things.
And they had a chart and mm-hmm. books with them, and it was really a pretty nice affair. I don't know how I'd ever raise my kids without a Chautauqua desk. Let's see. then they, you know, they started the Parents Magazine.
The Lewis E. Myerson Company?
Well, they didn't start it, but they got it out.
Uh-huh.
This went with it. The Master Library, comprising Master Scrolls and the Master Books of the Chautauqua Desk. This is 26. The Chautauqua equipment, and oh, it had all these silly things for kids, and people just love these books. And not long ago at a rummage sale that I worked on, somebody had turned in one of these books, and I thought, well, I got it, but I thought I ought to take it. Mm-hmm. But that is then this is this book with it went The Child, His Nature and His Needs, a contribution of the Children's Foundation. Let me see what that had to do with Lewis E. Myers. Well, anyway, we distributed it here, Lewis E. Myers, Valparaiso, Indiana. I think he started it, Valparaiso, Indiana, and it's all about everything.
Let's see here. It has present-day knowledge of child education, intellectually superior children, preventing delinquency. This is really interesting. If you're with you, I was wondering, would it be possible for me to show one of these books to the people in my class?
Sure, sure.
I think you'd be really interested in. Okay,
yeah.
Great.
That was one of my periods.
Zeta Zane Donovan.
I remember my mother got so mad when I told everybody my name was Zeta Zane. And I come across some old letters.
That was your name, period, Zeta Zane?
No, Zeta Zane Donegan.
Oh, Zeta Zane.
Because I just thought that was so much. I read every Zane Grey book, and I thought it sounded good, you know, Zeta Zane. And when I went back to, I'd almost forgotten about it. And when I went back to Omaha, Marie, this is Zeta Zane. You know, different periods, you got different names. It sounded so funny that I'd written it down there, Zeta Zane Donegan. But I thought that Zeta Zane sounded a lot better than Zeta Donegan or Zeta Helen Donegan, to say Zeta Zane.
Zeta Helen was your real name.
Real
full name, and so it was Zeta Zane. Did you ever give yourself any other middle names?
Oh, yes, whenever I saw my full name, I signed it Zeta Zane Helen Dorothy Donegan. Because I took Dorothy for my best girlfriend when I was confirmed. Mm-hmm. So my Helen, I was baptized, so Zeta Zane Helen Dorothy. Mm-hmm. Then Donegan was my maiden name, and Remley, so I figure that's my name.
You had a full set.
Full set of names. But I can remember when I changed my name to Zane, Mama was so worried. Oh, she thought that I was absolutely going to perdition, and she went up and saw the priest and asked him about it. And
you didn't change it legally, did you?
Oh,
you
no. I just told everybody. But I think I signed my contracts with that company, Zeta Zane Donegan, because I just said, I just decided to change my name. And, you know, later, Mama's name was Anna Donegan, and she always signed Anna Laura Donegan. I said, oh, that's an awfully odd name, Mama, Anna Laurie. I said, did your mother really name you after that song? She said, no, I was just Anna Donegan. I never had a name, so she said, Anna Rush, and she said, she had a lot of little poems published, and she said, if I'd say Anna Rush, but I put A.L. Rush, they thought I was a man, and they'd take them.
Oh, so they wouldn't publish your poems?
And so she just, and I said, well, why did you take this? She says, well, Anna Laura just seemed to go together. It went from Anna to Laura, the song Annie Laurie, my Bonnie Annie Laurie. So I said, well, did your mother go and hound the priest? She was grown when she did it, you know. But she was always A.L. Donegan, Anna Laura Donegan, man. That was her name, eh? But she just took that.
So it wasn't anything too new for her. Well, I think that's really interesting, the point you just mentioned, that she'd have her poems published and they...
She said she couldn't get the same published as a woman. But if they thought it was a man, she just signed it A.L. Donegan, and why they'd publish it.
Was this when she was...
Younger, uh-huh.
That's really interesting. So did she get money for publishing these?
Yeah, she got a little.
So she did.
Then I know through the years, if anybody very important died at the paper wanted something, an editorial written about them, they always had Mama do it. And she would have been a real good writer if she'd have, you know, worked at it and gone to it. She never did that later, only when she was asked to. But they paid her a little.
Well, that was so she must have been pretty known through North Platte.
Yeah, oh, she was known through North Platte. And she was known through, well, I know that she was asked by the True Voice, which was the Catholic diocesan paper in Omaha. In fact, I think it's still the name True Voice, to write a history of our parish in North Platte. And she looked up all the stuff and wrote quite a history for it that was published in the True Voice. Mm-hmm. But I don't know whether she got any money for that or not.
So Moses was someone who really liked to develop her life outside of the home, like through writing, you're saying, and she raised flowers?
Oh, flowers were her hobby. She had beautiful flowers, just beautiful flowers. But she had so many talents, too. I mean, I can figure that she could stick her hand in, you know, the old great majestic stove with the top down and the burner up, the warming oven up there, up to above, and eight, I think, on the stove. But she would just stick her hand in the oven and know exactly how hot it was, for what. No, they didn't have any thermometers or temperatures on the door, and yet they were the most marvelous cooks in the world.
But she'd put her hand in, she'd
just
tell
she'd just open the oven, put her hand in, and know whether it was hot enough for biscuits, or whether it was for pie, or whether it was for meat, or
I'd be a disaster.
I don't know how, but they just sort of automatically knew those things.
Huh? That's interesting, because you know.
And her biscuits. Oh, I can remember when I was just a little kid, there was a big affair there for Buffalo Bill Cody, mm-hmm. and. Mama was supposed to, he said he wouldn't go unless Mama cooked the biscuits. She had such a reputation for her biscuits. And she had this great big black pans, bread pans, and how she'd just get out those biscuits, just one, and she'd make them up, the dough, just no, she, I could just see her hands just whirling. Mm-hmm. And spread out the dough and cut them and put them on the, she'd sprinkle it with flour. She never used any grease. I don't know why. I think they use grease now. No, I guess they don't. Do they for biscuits? I've never made any out of biscuit, only with biscuit. But just she'd sprinkle flour and then put the biscuits on and just make them for the hundreds for the big affairs.
Did she have recipes that used exact measurements, or did she just seem to know how?
She had cookies, a recipe for cookies. It was we just called them Mama's cookies. Mm-hmm. That was supposed to be awfully good. But I don't think she wouldn't make cakes. She didn't have any recipe for pies. Mm-hmm. Pies were her specialty, and cookies and bread.
But she just did this all out of her head.
I think she just knew she'd done it so much. Mm-hmm. But cakes she didn't like, because her Aunt Ella Rush, her daughter, her oldest daughter, was the cake mix. So anytime we had a cake, she always hired Marguerite to make it. It seemed more festive that we didn't make the cakes, but Marguerite made our cakes and decorated them. And so that was more of a, because we had pies all the time. Oh, I think pie's more of an occasion.
Yeah. When you were younger, okay, the cakes made me think of this, did she have birthday parties for you?
Yes, I got two little cups out there I got for my fifth birthday party, my first five-year-old birthday party. I still got them.
Oh, yeah?
This one broke, but I stuck it together again.
Oh, my.
And this one. Mm, that's silly.
Pretty. So this is when you were five. You got two
five-year-old
porcelain cups.
These little sort of cups. Yes, I did, but I think it was mostly my sister Ethel. She was home, and she had birthday parties, and I think she did most of it than Mama. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of parties.
Okay, when you you were selling the chocolate desk, and you moved up in the company. How did that happen? Did you just...
Well, they just asked me if I'd do it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to find that when I was postmaster, or applying for postmaster in Alhambra, old Lewis E. Myers was... And I'm going to find that letter and let you read it that he wrote to the government about me. Oh, it was so wonderful.
So you knew the head of the company himself?
Oh, yes.
Was it a company like that where you would get to know them easily, or did
well,
you just
Well, we were to... sent to the... And, of course, I don't know whether I can find my original, but I know that when Edgar, it was in 48 when I was postmaster, and he made me have them photographed, so if I can't find it, he's got it, because it's a beautiful letter of what he wrote about me. I thought it was just great.
So you were on pretty good terms with
him? Oh, yes. He just about died when I quit the company.
I didn't quit till I was married.
And then when I come out here, you know, I just transferred myself. Mm-hmm. I acted sort of ornery. He didn't think I was, you don't know, but he would have been much happier, I think, if I'd have been older and just resigned and be a steady mm-hmm. member of the company mm-hmm. instead of just hiking out here. But I'll get that for the next time. I'll get it from Edgar if I don't find it.
Okay. So when you... You came out here, and then you stopped working when you got married?
Most of mm-hmm.
Was it that Lou didn't want you to work, or did you just decide?
I was going to go on to work, and we lived in Inglewood, and I went down to Laguna Beach, and I just made a killing down there. Mm-hmm. But when I come back, he'd seemed as, I got awful mad at him. He seemed to have spent nearly all of our money and none of the bills were paid. So I had to pay all the bills. We had enough money to pay all the bills. And I said, well, it didn't do us a darn bit of good for me to go down there and work. Mm-hmm. But the company closed not long after that.
So you were working a little, well, did you stop working just after you... got married and then go back a little later when you needed it.
Higley had the Los Angeles office, and he would be glad to have me work anytime. Mm-hmm. I worked in Hemet and I worked in Laguna, but I didn't work too much mm-hmm. because Lou was moving around, and I just thought I shouldn't. And I don't know. Probably been a lot better off if I had him.
So the company closed after that.
Mm-hmm.
And then did you just not think of working?
No, I didn't work for a long, long time. I think the next, it was after I was in Alhambra.
So that's, after we're in Alhambra. What year was that?
I went to Alhambra what year did we move to Alhambra? You know, I had to look up some old civil service applications from Lou to remember where I was in all these years in different towns, because when you apply for a job with the government, you've got to begin right now and go back to the time you were born, practically.
Yeah.
But I think we moved there in about 36.
36. So you'd been married about 10 years
mm-hmm.
or so, and you were
mm-hmm.
in your early 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you, was this at the postmaster job?
No, I wasn't postmaster later. But before I worked, it was just temporary work. I was county assessor, deputy county assessor. I'd work in the spring
mm-hmm.
and go out and assess property.
How did you get your training for that? Did you?
Well, you had to go in town and take a course in the assessor's office. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of experiences on that.
What made you decide to go back to work?
Well, our kids were a little older then. I didn't work when they were little.
Mm-hmm.
But and then it was temporary. Then they were all in school. Then I could be home by the time school was out. I mean, you got three little kids. It's mm-hmm. a little different.
But you still, did you just decide you wanted to be out and doing something?
Yeah, I just decided I wanted the money. Mm-hmm. And then I'd made Lou mad because I never would spend the money on anything. I saved the money. I wouldn't put it in because I got mad before. I stay mad. I don't get over it.
But just from you're still mad from the tuna.
Yeah. So I figured, well, we'd always have enough bread to eat. If I just put it in the bank, it'd just be gone. So I bought stock in a little, there was a fellow in one of the jewelers, Hugo Norum, and he said, they're starting a branch, a bank over on Valley, and you might as well get in that on the ground floor. Now, you want me to buy some stock. So I'd saved all, I didn't even cash my checks. I only worked about 3 months out of the year, mm-hmm. in the spring, you know, that is. So I had all my checks, and so they got a franchise, and I think I only invested about $800 in this branch, the Valley National Bank, a brand new bank on Valley Boulevard. Then after that, it was sold to another bank on the Foothill. Then it was sold to another bank, and then it was sold to another bank, and now it's United.
You still own this one?
Oh, I still own it. Oh, I wouldn't cash it.
So,
no matter how hungry I got, I said, no, I'm not going to.
So, in effect, you still have your money from the county.
I still have my money. Yeah, every bit of my money. But,
how much did that pay very well, the association?
Oh, not too much. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember what it was for the hour. Maybe $200 a month or $250 a month.
Mm-hmm. So, this was... Was it full time, but it was only?
It was full time, but it was only. Well, you had so much to do, and if you got it done in a hurry, you could even take off some days or the like. Because I work fast,
mm-hmm.
I work, and I just. I had lots of interesting experiences in that.
Okay, I want to turn the tape over.